Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Lord, we love you because you first loved us. And we thank you because the entrance of your word gives light. Now, Lord, we pray that that light will shine in our hearts today to bring us more and more and closer unto the perfect day. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I was preparing in my mind to continue the Revelation series. But as I more and more as I thought about it, and I got ready for today. This has happened to me so many times. This happened again, and the Lord would have me switch to something else, so I'm going to put that aside today. But every time we stand here in the message of the Lord, we always want to bring a message that's going to help somebody. Amen? That's what it's all about. So I always ask myself also when I come to church, and if I'm scheduled to preach, well, what is it that you want out of it today? So it's not about me. It's not about that. It's not about anything else. But the Bible says, in as much as you are zealous for spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. So we trust in the name of the Lord that you will be edified this morning. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, our message this morning is blessings and testings, an inseparable package. Amen? So you stay with me in this message, and you're going to hear all about what the Lord would have for us this morning. So that's blessings and testings. That's an inseparable package. I'm going to take us right back. Let's start in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Open your Bible if you would, please, and let's put that scripture up quickly so we can get through here. Genesis chapter 1. I'm starting at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen? Now, that's God that created the heaven and the earth, not some big bang theory. God created the heaven and the earth. Praise the Lord. And the earth was without form and was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, there is, things were out of whack, it seemed like, And then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And he's going to do something now. Now you stay with the Spirit of God and see what he does. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And God saw the light that it was good. Amen. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Now, I want everybody to pay attention to this. And the morning, evening and the morning were the first day. Now, we notice that the Spirit of God, when he moved, he was going to take care of the chaos. He's going to take care of the darkness. First thing he did was say, let there be light. And when he saw the light, it was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. But you may notice that he kept the darkness in place. Hello, somebody. In fact, he gave a name to the darkness. And I've said this before many times, that if God would have said, let there be light and let the darkness be no more, then there would have been no more darkness. But he didn't say that. Are you still with me, folks? He divided the light from the darkness, but he kept the two of them side by side. And as a matter of fact, he gave a name to the darkness because there was a purpose in it that the Lord had in his mind. So right from the beginning, we see that that's the way that God did it. Now turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14. You're going to have to move fast because I want to get through this very quickly. Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. God will explain to us in this scripture also the reason why he puts things side by side. you know, blessings and testings. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. Amen? Sure. Everybody loves prosperity. In that day, be joyful. But in that day of adversity, you can't have one without the other. In the day of adversity, consider. What should you consider? Well, God has set the one, which is prosperity, over against the other, which is adversity. He has set them side by side. To the intent, the end, that man should find nothing after. He wants you to seek him both when the times are good and also when there are challenging times. Amen. So we see in both scriptures that we read in Genesis and also in this one that God puts them side by side. He put the light there, but he also put the darkness side by side with it. He put the prosperity there, but he also put the adversity right alongside. You say, well, that's kind of negative. No, that's calling it like it is. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can't change the word of God, but this message is going to show you how to take advantage of whichever situation it is. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, having said that, I want us to also notice that neither the day nor the night can last forever. Amen. For now, as long as there is night and day, there's coming a time when there will be no more night. But for now, as long as there is night and day, not even the night, no matter how dark it is, can last forever. Amen. In the book of Psalms 30 and verse 5, the scripture says and tells us that in the latter part of the verse, Psalm 30 verse 5, let's be quick with putting the scriptures up. He says unto us that his anger may endure for a moment, but his favor, you know, in his favor is light. Now, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Amen. So again, you see those two things are side by side. You know, sometimes in the winter months or in some other months, the day is a little shorter and the night is a little longer and sometimes even a lot longer. But no matter how long the night is, at some point in time, the day must break. Amen. And when the day breaks, then the night is over. And you go into a cycle. And in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, we're told about cycles. There is a cycle, and I'm going to add my own here this morning. There is a cycle for the day, and there is a cycle for the night. Amen? There is a time for prosperity, and just as sure as there is prosperity, there are times there is also adversity. There's a time to be on the top of the mountain, and there's a time that you might be in the valley. But whether you are in the valley or you are on top of mountain, God is there with you. Amen. Now, so I'm establishing first, you know, the foundation from the word of God to show you that these things are there side by side. Now, having established that, let's look at some things in the Bible, some examples, and then come into some practical reasons why the Lord wanted me to bring this for us today. Now, when you are praying for a blessing, and these are some of the practical things, and then I'm going to say this, then go into some examples. When you're praying for a blessing, you know, sometimes the blessing may delay. There's going to be two parts to this message. Sometimes the blessing may delay, but when the blessing eventually comes, it's like a breakthrough. God has given you a breakthrough. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. You know, when the Lord turns the situation around for you, which maybe you've been praying about for a long time, it's like a dream come true. But let me tell you something too. With that blessing, it's going to come testings, and it's going to come. It's a package. It's always a package. And I'll tell you more about that in just a few minutes. But I want you to stay with me. The blessings that we pray for, sometimes when God gives them, he also brings testings with it. Now, why does he allow that to happen? Well, let's look in nature. Roses come with what? Thorns. The roses are some of the most beautiful flowers that God has ever made is a rose. But you can't pick a rose, you know, by itself. There's thorns. Actually, roses grow right in the middle of thorns. How many of you know that's true? If you know that's true, say amen. You're too quiet in here this morning. Do roses grow in the middle of thorns? Absolutely. You know, so that's God's creation right there walking and telling us a story. Now, one of the most beautiful creatures that God has made upon the face of this earth, when you see, you know, those, there's some categories of butterflies. You know, in fact, one time, you know, I went with my wife to this butterfly place, you know, and so forth. And man, I saw those stories, and those things can be really beautiful when they really come out of it. But I tell you what, you know, that thing comes out of some of the ugliest thing that you have ever seen. You ever see that caterpillar and that cocoon? I mean, strong. The thing is ugly. It's repulsive, to me at least, you know. But when that thing comes out, it's a thing of beauty. Amen. Now, you know, God could have brought that butterfly out from something more beautiful. Why didn't he choose to bring it out from a caterpillar, from something so ugly and so forth like that? You know, so he knows what he's doing. Amen. He packages those good things like that. And sometimes you have to wait. Sometimes there's a struggle. Sometimes there is, you know, challenges that come with that and so forth. And, but God will bring you out. Amen. You know, so we've seen that the roses come in the midst of thorns. We've seen that even the beautiful butterfly comes out of, you know, pain and struggle from the cocoon. And, you know, how it, you know, goes through that cycle and so forth like that. Now, Jesus himself said in the book of John chapter 12 and verse 24. He said, except a corn of wheat, you know, fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, then it bringeth forth much fruit. Can you say amen? Now, Jesus was talking about himself. You know, I mean, if Jesus would have just been by himself, then he would be the only Son of God. But he went to the cross, he died, he gave Allah his life for us, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, by his death and resurrection, he now has many, many, many sons all over the world and throughout the generations. Amen. But if he had abided alone and not died, he would have continued alone. You know, so we see that even Jesus himself had to go through some sufferings and some of that in order to come out into that glory. And I'm going to give you a scripture for that later on. But let me go back into some examples in the Bible of how God packages blessings along with testings. And just because God promised you something, you may even wait for it for a long time. When you eventually get it, that doesn't mean that everything is just going to be a piece of cake or just be a walk in the park or just hunky-dory. No, that devil is going to challenge that. And actually, not just the devil. The Lord is going to test that too. Amen. And I'm going to show it to you in the scriptures. Let's again go back to the stories in the beginning. We see that Abraham was one of the first ones that God revealed himself to, you know, in the Bible. Actually, as we see it, you know, when God approached unto him in the book of Genesis, turn with me to Genesis chapter 15. Now, we know there were some things going on in Abraham's life. God had called him, you know, in Genesis 11, God told him he was going to make him great. I mean, Genesis 10 and so forth, you know. And we saw that God called to make him great even after the Tower of Babel. He picked Abraham and he said he was going to make him great. The other people tried to make themselves great, but God said, I'm going to make you great. And all of those promises, we saw that there was no son in his life and so on. You know, there was no child born to him except, you know, the one that was arranged by his wife to Hagar, the Egyptian, and so on. Now, in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, here's what the Lord said to Abraham. He said, the Lord approached to him in a vision and said, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord didn't say, I will give you an exceeding great reward. No, he said, I am your reward. Hallelujah. If you have the Lord, you've got everything. Amen. Now, Abraham would challenge the Lord and say, well, you know, if that is the case, he said in verse 2, well, I why do I go childless then? You know, if that is this case, you know, what would you give me? Seeing that I go childless and, you know, the steward that's born in my house, you know, and all of these things, you know, is going to take over, you know. And the Lord said, That's not the way it's going to be. I am going to give you a promise right now. In verse 4, the Lord told him that that's not going to be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels, he shall be your heir. And the Lord told him, now go forth now to the heavens and look and see the stars and all of these things and look at the sun and everything. If you can number it, that's how your seed will be. You know, I'm going to give you numberless. Your seed is going to be numberless, finally, and all that. Well, we are told in verse 6 that Abraham believed the Lord, and it was counted to him for righteousness. But you see, that promise, right here, even in this chapter, God was going to put it right smack down next to some great testings. God just told him something, some of the most incredible things that anybody ever heard. That one person is going to have seed that will be, you know, like the stars of heaven, like the sands of the sea and all these things. And then God went back and told him, he said in verse 13, and the Lord said to Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Now, he doesn't even have any seed yet. God just promised him some great thing. And now God's going to tell him some horrible thing that's going to come upon him. In fact, just before the Lord told him this, he had a horrible dream. I mean, it was something horrible to him. The Lord spoke to him in that dream. And he said, your seed will be a stranger. They will be in affliction. They will be there for 400 years. Somebody is going to torment them. This is a great blessing that God just gave him. He doesn't even have the seed yet. God's already telling him that they are going to be in trouble. That's how the blessings and the testings come in an inseparable package from the Lord. But the Lord also gave a promise that that nation that afflicts them, I'm going to deal with them. Amen. And I'm going to bring them out with a strong hand after that is all said and done. So you can just see how things are going and how God keeps putting, he puts a promise out there and then all of a sudden he puts some testings there as well. You know, and he knows why he's doing that, you know. Now we see the story of David. I'm not going to read this one. I'm going to just tell you and move over it because of time. We see that David was anointed to be king when he was a young man. When Samuel was instructed to go and, you know, the sons of Jesse and so forth. So David was found, you know, Samuel thought it would be this one or that one, Eliab or this and that, because they were, you know, no. But God chose David. Now, David was anointed to be king. He was still a young man. And it looked like a great promise. But little did he know that his life from that point on was going to be in jeopardy. That anointing that God put upon him to be king stirred up jealousy and envy in the heart of Saul, who was then the king. And Saul determined in his mind that he's going to kill David if he takes the life of him. And everywhere David went, even when David was helping him to get rid of the tormenting spirit, Saul would throw a javelin at him. He would try to kill him. He was always chasing him, doing all kinds of things. Now, the anointing and the promise to the throne was there. Amen. But all the things that he went through, I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, every day his life was in jeopardy despite the promise of God. And did you think that God did not know that he was promised? God was the one that anointed him to be king. God said, I have chosen David. He rejected Saul, he chose David. And Saul would almost kill David every day of his life. Blessings and testings. An inseparable package. You know, one of my greatest stories that I love in that Bible, and I've told it a few times here in the church, the story of Joseph. And you can read in Genesis chapters 39, clear about through the end of it, 37 through the end. Just one chapter in there is a different story. But the story of Joseph, many people know that story. And how God showed him by dreams that how he was going to be great. And how even his brothers, that's the way they interpreted it, would bow down to him and do obeisance to him and so forth. God showed him all these dreams, you know. But from the moment that he received the promise of that greatness, it came with all kinds of problems. Are you still with me, folks? Hello? Just from that promise alone, by him opening his mouth and saying it, his brothers got envious and they plotted against him to kill him. They tried to kill him. One of his older brothers delivered him, said, don't kill him, just throw him out here. He wanted to come back and get him later. Well, that didn't happen. You know, they sold him into slavery. He went thousands of miles away from his family, you know, and when he got there, you know, Potiphar's wife connived against him and so forth, framed him because he wouldn't do evil by her. And he got into prison and all kinds of evil just came. Meanwhile, God had told him he was going to be great. I mean, he saw the greatness. He saw it in his dreams and so forth. And I challenge you to think of, put yourself in Joseph's situation. Even his brother says, here come that dreamer of dreams. Let's get rid of him and we'll see what will become of his dreams. And that devil might have told Joseph that so many times on that long journey, you know, from that wilderness to the land of Egypt. You know, of course, the Ishmaelites and so forth, which God used to save his life there, you know. The devil could have told him, we'll see about your dreams now. You know, and then when he got into prison, the devil could have told him again, we'll see about your dreams now. And then even though God was blessing him on the one side, everywhere he went, he had favor. You know, he had favor and he was, you know, in the house of Potiphar, immediately had favor. You know, Potiphar, who was like the chief of army staff, chief of staff, gave everything to him to be over. But his wife, you know, had the eye on Joseph and all that. You know the story. And because he wouldn't do evil, she connived against him and then he got sent into prison. And evil was just following, seemed like evil was following him, even though there was a blessing that God promised him, you know. But I tell you what, if you know the story, you'll know that every one of those things that happened to him was moving him closer to the promise of God. Amen. And he had to go to prison in order to get a chance to be able to stand before Pharaoh. Now, the best that he could have gotten at that point was before the chief of staff, who was Potiphar. But when he went into prison, he happened to be in the same prison with the baker and the butler from Pharaoh, who had angered their boss, and he threw them in there. And by using the gift of God, by interpreting a dream and so forth like that, when the one of them was restored, he finally remembered. And even when he was restored, he forgot Joseph for 2 years. You know, and Joseph languished more in that prison for another 2 years. But finally, one day, hallelujah, praise God, one day he went from prison to prime minister. Hallelujah, somebody. And Pharaoh said, you are Joseph and I am Pharaoh. And there will nothing happen in this land except by your word. And he put his seal on it and he laid Joseph smack down in the midst of everybody. You are the prime minister of the land. Hallelujah, somebody. But I tell you, those things did not come without their pain and their trouble. And little alone did he know, even after that, you know, and so forth. Well, that promise didn't immediately come true until his brothers came from the journey to buy corn in the land. And then there was pain again. He had to relieve all those memories of his brothers plotting against, trying to kill him and so on and so forth. So you see, God packages all those things. But there's always a beautiful story out of it all if you stay true to the word of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, all these things that we see in the scriptures are for our examples. Now, the second part of this message is going to be how you can be patient and patiently wait to see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Even when you think you've come into the promise of God, you know, there's going to be challenges. Consider even somebody who just got married. A young couple who got married, they are believers. You know, we know so many people, not necessarily in this church, not in this church at all, but somewhere else, you know, where, you know, they got married for a few years and they couldn't have a baby and so forth. And they're believing God and they're crying to God and so forth. And maybe 1 year, 2 years, 3 years or 4 years go by and they're crying and praying. Well, one day, hallelujah, God answers that prayer, you know. But after he answers that prayer, then that woman is going to be in sorrow because she's going to have that pregnancy. Just because she waited for it for just a while and just because she believed God and God can say, doesn't mean she's not going to have pain. She's going to have pain. She's going to have trouble because Jesus himself said it. A woman, when she's pregnant, has pain and trouble until the man child is born. You know, she's going to have trouble. She's going to have pain. And sometimes that delivery is going to be something she would almost wish. She would almost wish that, how did I get myself in here? Praise the Lord. And I remember one time, a long time in Nigeria, we were in a camp meeting. I was a very, very young man, maybe 20 years old. I don't know what I was, 20-something years old. We were in a camp meeting, and a sister was so heavy, waiting to be delivered. And I went in the room. They wouldn't let anybody else in there except me. I mean, any man. So I went in the room. I actually delivered. That was my first delivery. I actually had a delivery. You know, my wife knows the story. Some other people know the story. So I was in there, you know, and this sister, I mean, her husband tried to come in. I mean, I can't tell you what she said. Praise the Lord. She would have nothing to do with the man. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is the man. You know, and because she was so much in pain, I mean, she almost cursed the man out. You know, I was like, what? You know, it was unbelievable. But later on, when she embraced that child, hallelujah. It was such a great joy and all that. But I tell you, the testing doesn't stop just after the child is born. When the child is born, then all of a sudden there's all those sleepless nights. Can any of the women say amen to that? That's right. There's all those sleepless nights. Sometimes the mother cannot sleep and so forth because the child is crying throughout the night. You pray and so forth, it doesn't sleep too well. And sometimes the baby is sick. You have to go to the hospital and all of that. You know, it was a blessing you prayed for. Now, be careful now. When you pray, you might get a blessing. Amen. Be careful when you pray for something, you might get it. But it comes in a bundle of package. Blessings on the one side and testings on the other side. Now, we don't want you to ever forget that, because the Lord has set one over against the other to the intent that men should find nothing after him. You must always trust the Lord. Amen. And then we've known people that say, well, you know, I want to get married and all that stuff. You know, and they trust in the Lord and so forth. And finally, they get married. And when they get married, it's a bundle of trials and testings. I mean, it's just everything going wrong and so forth. It seems like at first. You know, and all that. So you can see how those blessings, you know, go. And I'll give you a brief testimony, throw my own story into the mix, you know, here. A few months ago, well, for many years, I mean, some of you may or may not know. You know, in fact, somebody said, do you do anything besides being a pastor? Yes. You know, I've been a consultant for many, many years, you know, and last year, after being consulting for a company for a long, long time, they decided to absorb the consultants, and I didn't want any part of it. But eventually, I said I would. I told this story a few months back. And then when I saw that I would, there was a position that was a little bit higher, and I said, yeah, I want that position. So I went for that position and so forth. Well, you know, it seemed good at the time because you know, there was an opportunity for me to be absorbed into the company with all my peers. But then I said in the scripture, the Lord said, he has anointed my head with oil of gladness above my fellows. So I said, well, if anybody is going to be the one that's elevated, I'm going to claim it. Amen. So I believe the Lord. And my wife and I, we prayed about it and so forth. I said, well, maybe, you know, and so see what the Lord will do. And I believed God for it. And I got it. And it was great. Can you say praise the Lord? But little did I know. Man, in fact, I said afterwards, how did I get myself into this thing? Because now I have to do like 3 times the work that I used to do. And I tell you something, that's nothing small, because I was somebody that walked around the clock anyway, you know, my technical line. And now I have to do about 3 times the thing. And boy, you know, well, you prayed for it. You got it. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'm going to give you a secret out of all that. So you just see that, you know, the story I'm telling you is also personal. It's not just, you know, out there. It's not just something vague or, you know, and so forth. It comes home, you know. Now, you pray for something, God's going to give it to you, but it might come with a package, you know, and so on. So, but you're going to have to deal with it. Amen. Amen, somebody. Now, let me read some scriptures here to help us go through all of this real quickly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the book of now, I'm going to switch this and talk about the patience that you need, you know, and so forth. You know, when you're going through a challenge in something that you thought was a blessing, you know, and all of a sudden. Now, remember, the scripture says that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he added no sorrow to it. Amen. So when the Lord is blessing you and supposed to make you rich, then any other thing that's coming, you have to claim that promise. Amen. And God will give you the grace. Now, let's read some scriptures here quickly. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Let's read from verse 12 to 15. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. And I love this scripture. It says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience. Now, it's not faith only. Now, we teach faith here all the time. And, you know, if there's anything that God has given me, is how to believe. Faith. You know, and so forth like that. You know, but faith and patience, can't have one without the other. Amen. Through faith and patience, they inherit the promise. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, you know, people usually swear by somebody greater. So God himself looked for who's greater that I can swear by. Well, he found none greater. So he swore by himself. Hallelujah. Surely, blessing, I will bless you. I'm multiplying, I will multiply you. And he told him all those things and so forth. Now, verse 15. And so Abraham, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Amen. And that patiently enduring took him 25 solid years before he could get a hold of that promise. Now, this scripture is telling you how that you must temper your faith sometimes with patience. Now, let's read another scripture real quick. In the book of Hebrews, the same Hebrews, chapter 10. Let's go to verse 36. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. For ye have need of patience. Hello? Let's read it together. Read with me. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might do what? Receive the promise. But you have need of patience. You know, you have need of patience because, you know, some things will be tested. Even the blessings of God in your life will be tested. Let's look at James chapter 1. Let's read verses 3 and 4. James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith. Are you saying that your faith will be tried? Absolutely. Your trying of your faith will bring forth patience. Now, I'm mixing faith with patience now. You can't have faith alone. You must have patience. Because that's how God works. It's throughout the Bible. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith will work out patience in your life. But let patience have her perfect work. Amen. Now, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And that's something that's lacking for most people. We're never patient. When we run off, we come to God in prayer. 2 minutes, you run off. You know, whatever it is, we want God to do this now. You know, we want God to do this now. Whenever patient, we just run off, we believe God and so forth. It's a great thing to believe God. And if you want to talk about somebody who believes God, I believe God. You know, but we must have patience. Amen. Patience. He says, let patience have a perfect work, so that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If you don't let patience have its perfect work, you will not be exactly perfect. Now, let's read verse 5 of that. They say, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and so forth. Now, God is going to give you wisdom when you ask him. So that's all I will say about that. But let me go back to the rest of this. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 19. Let me look at that quickly. Luke 21 verse 19. Jesus will talk about, you know, how you can possess your own souls through patience. Because talking about tribulation of those days and everything like that. And he says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. When you're going through trials, when you're going through testings, even the testings of the blessings of God in your life, you have to use patience. Amen. Now, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, I'm going to go through this very quickly. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Notice this. After, not before, after that ye have suffered a while. Hello? Does God allow sufferings in order to make you perfect? Let's read this scripture together. Together, everybody. But the God of all grace, who had called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Can you say amen to that? That's right. But the making of you being perfect comes after you have suffered a while. Well, did Joseph suffer a while? I tell you, it was a long while. Did Abraham suffer a while? Yes, I tell you, it was a long while. Did David suffer a while after the promise? It was a long while. All of these, did Abraham, all of them, even Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So take note of that. After you've suffered a while, he'll make you perfect. He will establish you and he will strengthen you. Now let's see how David did it. In the book of Psalms chapter 40, let's read from verse 1 through about verse 3. Psalms 40 and verse 1. Quickly, please. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Verse 2. Let's look at what he said the Lord did for him. Verse 2, please. Let's move on. I'm reading it ahead of me. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Amen. But that wasn't until he waited patiently for the Lord. And if you will also wait patiently for the Lord while you are going through testing and trials, even though it was a blessing that you inherited, God will also bring you out of the miry clay. Amen. And he will bring you out. And when he does bring you out, in verse 3, he said, he will put a new song in your mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. Hallelujah. And they shall fear and they shall trust in the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap, everybody. Hallelujah. He will bring you out of the miry clay. That's like quicksand. Now, if you fall into quicksand and you struggle, you get even deeper. Quicksand, you know, it's like quicksand. You know, but you can't get out of it, you know, if you struggle. But the Lord, he'll pull you out of it. Amen. And when he pulls you out, he'll break you out of a horrible pit, you know, and he will put a new song of praise in your mouth. Hallelujah. Even praise to our God that all may see it and hear it. Hallelujah. Now, remember that all of these blessings, come through this. Does God allow testings and trials? Let's see what Jesus said about himself in the book of Luke. Chapter 24. This is Jesus, the supreme example. Luke chapter 24. After that, Jesus was resurrected. You know, there were two disciples that were walking on the road to Emmaus, you know, and when Jesus came and joined himself to them, and they were talking about, then Jesus said, what are you guys talking about? You know, and he said, well, are you a newcomer here? Like a JJC or something? Don't you know all the things that happened here this weekend? And Jesus said, what things? Praise the Lord. Sometimes he has a good sense of humor. He's like, what things? You know, what are you talking about? You know, and they said, well, you know, Jesus, a mighty prophet and so forth, how they killed him, did all these things and so forth. How some of our company went there and they didn't find his body after 3 days and all this. And they kept on telling Jesus all these stories. And Jesus said, really? So finally, you know, just listen to them. And then finally he said to them, listen to what he said to them. He said to them in verse 23, verse 25 of Luke chapter 24. He said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You know, ought not Christ to have suffered all these things and then enter into his glory? See, even Christ had to suffer all these things. The road to glory for Christ was through his sufferings. Can you say amen? You can read that in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through about 10 and so forth. How he humbled himself to even the death of the cross and how God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So Jesus went through that. How much more every one of us? Let me give us some real quick scriptures here. How the word of the Lord will be tried in your life. Psalms 18 and verse 30 tells us that the word of the Lord is tried. That's Psalms 18 and verse 30. And in Psalm 105, I'm going to go through very quickly. In Psalm 105, verse 19, you know, talking about, well, let's read this Psalm 18. It looks good. It says, he's a buckler to all those that trust in him. When you are going through those trials, trust in him and the Lord will sustain you. Amen. In Psalm 105, verse 19, real quickly, you know, talking about the story of Joseph, how, you know, he was in bonds and so forth. The promise of God came unto him, you know, and he went through all kinds of things until the time came. You know, the word of the Lord came, and then the word of the Lord tried him. So you say, what? Was it the Lord? Yeah, absolutely. The word of the Lord tried him. He went through all those things, but the Lord was with him. Amen. Listen to what the Lord told Paul when Paul was beseeching the Lord for some things. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. He said, I besought the Lord many times, so take this thing away from me. But the Lord said unto him, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. He said, my grace is sufficient unto you. What did he say here? He said, I would rather then glory in my infirmities so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. Amen, somebody. Well, he prayed for deliverance for something, you know, thorn in the flesh and all of that and so on, you know. And the Lord said, no, don't worry about it. My grace is sufficient unto you. Now, if you can trust the Lord, no matter what challenges you have, his grace will be sufficient for you. Amen. Now, in closing, let me round this up. Here is what we told you through this message. We told you that blessings and testings come together bundled in an inseparable package. When God promised a blessing, when it seems like you are entering into it, don't think that you are not going to be tested. There will be all kinds of problems on the left and on the right. There could be, but the Lord that put you there and brought you into that promise, he will sustain you. Amen. Amen. And whatever it is that we are believing God for, wherever we are right now, keep on believing God until the end. Amen. For he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Don't quit on the Lord. Don't give up. Keep moving forward. In every situation that you are in, trust the Lord for his deliverance. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now let's stand up to our feet and we're going to close it here, but there's one more thing that I want to do and I want to pray. Let's stand to our feet quickly. Hallelujah. The story of this message is for us to know that just because we ask God to bless us and he gave us the blessing, that doesn't mean that the problems will not come. There will be all kinds of problems. You know, and some of you young folks right now, listen to me. Some of you right now, you are about to transition from high school to college. Some of you are praying for, a good decision, you know, into college and so forth, a good college. You're perhaps looking for scholarship, you're looking for that, you know. Now, God may grant you all of that, and he will if you believe God, you know. But it's going to come with testings and trials. Just because God answered the promise and gave you that scholarship and got you that admission to that Ivy League school or whatever, it doesn't mean that your classes are going to be a walk in the beach. Amen? There's going to be times that you may be almost frustrated. Challenges everywhere. But look unto the Lord. Amen. Say, look unto me and be ye saved. You look unto God, you trust in the Lord, and you patiently endure. And the Lord is going to bless your heart. Lift up your hands, everybody, and we're going to pray. And I pray that you understood this message. And some of you may say that, well, you know, I'm struggling right now. I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to give you the grace to patiently endure. Amen. Amen, somebody. But also remember, there's another thing I want you to take with you. When you pray, the Bible says in Matthew 21 and 22 that all things soever you desire when you pray, when you ask in prayer, you shall receive. Amen. All things that you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Now, be careful what you ask for because you might receive it. But when you do receive it, if it came from the Lord, it will surely testings will accomplish it. Accompany it, but the Lord is going to give you the grace. Amen. Now lift up your hands and I'm going to pray. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to call a prayer line, but wherever you are, if you believe God, you say, Lord, give me the grace to patiently wait, to patiently endure. Remember, after that you have suffered a while, He will make you perfect. He will establish you and he will strengthen you. Hallelujah. Now lift up your hands and we're going to pray. Father, Lord, look at the hands of your children that are lifted. And Lord, we thank you for the admonition that speaks unto us as to sons today. To know that even the blessings of God come sometimes with testings and trials. To know that the word of the Lord might be tried in our lives. Now we pray, Lord, for wisdom to understand that God is working. The Bible says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let's understand, Lord, give us an understanding that God is working for us. And give us the patience to know that the Lord and his salvation is near. Amen. The salvation of the Lord is near, folks. Whatever you are going through, believe God for it. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, so wherever you are, I'm going to take just another minute to pray. You may be a student. There may be prayers and so forth. You may be in business. Some of you are praying for business, for your business to expand. And all of a sudden when it expands, now you can't handle it. You know, I mean, you are overwhelmed. You are almost buried in the thing because it has expanded. You prayed for it to expand and God is expanding. But now it's loaded with all kinds of things. You're just way beyond. It's over your head. You can't even do anything. Patiently endure. Amen. The Lord is going to pull you out and give you the grace to balance everything out. And he will do it too, but you must patiently. Hallelujah. You must patiently endure. You're praying for a blessing. You got a new job and so forth. You know, and all of a sudden, like myself, you know, all kinds of things break loose. And you can't even seem to handle it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. Father, Lord, be a blessing. Give, show your people a token for good in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And let them see the hand of the Lord wherever you are, wherever you are, see that the Lord is working for you and keep your head up. Remember, he is still God in the valley. The God of the mountain, he is the God of the valley. The God that spoke to you in the light, he is God when the days are dark as well. Never forget, the Lord will be with you and he will bring you out with a strong hand. And everybody says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody, put your hands together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.